Well, welcome everybody to another edition of Last Christian. My name is J.D. Williams, and joining me there is Mr. David Paxton, and we've got a show for you today. I told David we got enough for a month, and we really do, but what we're going to be talking about is, first of all, what is the real reason that only Christians and Jews are under attack? I'm going to answer that question for you today. But we're also going to get into some reasons why people are turning away from Christianity. Now, of course, the world is trying to blow that all out of proportion, and it's not as bad as what everybody thinks it is, because right now, all across the world, Christianity is catching on like fire in countries that want to prevent the word from getting out. And you know how that works. Every time they try to stop the Bible just grows and grows. Every time they try to stop the church grows and grows. Unfortunately, that's right? Yeah. But that's not the case in some countries that have easy access to it. And I'm going to tell you the reasons, the stupid reasons. I'll make it really clear. The stupid reasons that people turn away from the Bible, turn away from Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about that today. I got a little bit of news, David, but we're not going to waste a lot of time on it. But we're a newscast, so we got to play some of it. So
we got to pretend we're news anyway.
I'm going to summarize a part of this. By the way, I am a member of the U.S. Press Association, so keep that in mind, people. I check everything, double check facts all the way around. I'm not like the fake media. I'm not even going to call them mainstream anymore. I'm going to call them the fake media, because that's exactly what they are. First of all, RFK Jr., he is looking at a third-party run, and the Democrats are freaking out because they think it takes a lot of votes from Biden. And so they're trying to keep him off the ballot. He's going for libertarian stuff. I'm summarizing reports here right now. Mm-hmm. NBC has gone full socialist on everybody, or full communist as far as I'm concerned. They hire the former what was she, David? The head of the Republican Party. Yeah, and 24 hours later, because of people like Rachel Maddow, I call her Rachel Mad Cow. Yeah. because of people like that, they fired her. So get ready, NBC. You're about to be sued. Then you got the United Nations telling Israel, you've got to implement a ceasefire. You have to. And then the World Court comes along and they say, okay, you have got to stop the famine that's happening in Gaza. Well, guess what? There wouldn't be a famine if the terrorists that occupy Gaza would let the people get the aid. It's there, but Hamas is stopping it, and yet the UN is blaming Israel. Now, you explain that one to me. That's stupid, okay? But I am going to play this report right here. Let's listen to this one real quick.
Israel's rejected calls from the UN's top court for it to do more to allow aid into Gaza to head off a famine. It says claims it's blocking aid are wholly unfounded. The International Court of Justice says Israel should act without delay to allow basic services and humanitarian assistance in Gaza.
Yeah, okay, well, Israel's right. The terrorists are wrong. The World Court is wrong. The UN is wrong. And the United States of America is cowardly and wrong. Okay, David, for the first time, you get to comment on everything I just talked about.
Oh, everything. All of it.
All of it.
We'll start with the Bible. Isn't that what we've always heard? The Tarsis, right? They said, oh, but they'll sit off in the distance and go, are you going to go steal stuff from them? So, they're cowardly sitting off because they don't want to offend everybody.
Right.
Everybody is got their panties in a bunch being all offended nowadays.
Right.
But this is kind of the way it goes. I mean, where was it? I've seen videos of them actually selling the aid that was dropped. So all the terrorists would go around and get it and then take it to the market and sell it to everybody.
Yeah,
and this is supposed to be, and then they put up videos how this aid box landed on a building and hurt people. you know, you can't win for losing with those guys. So I it's just funny to me at this point because with everything going on and all the convergence of signs, I mean we're right smack up to the return of Christ. So I'm excited.
Amen. Amen. When I first started the show, and by the way, we're about to hit our third year anniversary. Actually, I just saw it the other day, and when I first started the show, we were struggling to try and have enough news for that week. You know, not much changed. And now, like I said, today I got so much news that we could talk about it for a month. The thing is that next week I'm going to have the same thing, and the week after that I'm going to have the same thing. That's how fast things are moving now, David.
Yeah. Not to mention three bridges having major problems in one day.
What's
people
up
don't
with
know
that?
About the Indian River Bridge and the Valley Bridge too. There was two other bridges the same day as they knocked the Baltimore Bridge down. One was like a huge major fire underneath that no one could cross, and then another one was on the right on the edge of Delaware over there, and the sea broke in and wiped out the approach to another bridge. So all these major arteries, it's just a coincidence, like all of the trains that crashed at the same time.
Uh-huh, yeah. Well, we both know that things are not going to get better, okay? It's going to get worse and worse and worse. And the problem is that people are turning to the government for their help instead of the Bible for their help.
Mm-hmm.
That's.
I think it's designed that way. They're designing it to do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree. Okay. Now this one may sound a little bit off in left field somewhere, but I think you'll catch the point of it. I call this one false prophets. Let's listen to this.
The Kenyan government has begun returning 429 bodies of individuals who were members of a doomsday cult at the center of a legal case that has caused shock throughout the nation.
The exhumed bodies from a vast rural area in coastal Kenya have displayed signs of starvation and strangulation. The cult's leader, Paul McKenzie, stands accused of instructing his followers to starve themselves to death in order to meet Jesus, and now faces charges that include murder. Lawrence Keller reporting.
Now, this is a big reason why some people turn away from religion is because of false prophets like this guy, you know,
mm-hmm.
And what they don't understand is that salvation is free. You don't have to starve yourself to death. You don't have to pay anybody. You don't have to do any of that stuff. All you got to do is simply make a prayer to the Lord and ask him for forgiveness of your sins. And tell mm-hmm. him that you're going to follow Jesus for the rest of your life, and you're saved, and you don't have to worry about it, and it's 100% free, and that freaks the world out.
Yep. You don't have to say three Hail Marys, and you don't have to do penance.
Nope. You ain't got to do any of that stuff, you know, and you sure don't have to go out and kill somebody to try to get into heaven, because killing somebody, well, look at the Ten Commandments, for goodness sakes. I mean, what does it say about killing people?
Mm-hmm.
You know, look at that.
I said, yeah, it's all not murder.
Yeah.
Mm. So it's interesting here because the devil he's the most subtle, it says in the Genesis, mm-hmm. which means he's clever and he's tricky and he'll use those things. That's how he was able. Eve was in a perfect world and he still somehow got her.
Right.
Now, don't be mad at Eve. You probably would have done the same thing. But here he is, and now he's essentially killing two birds with one stone. He gets to kill all these people because he says he is starved to death, drink the Kool-Aid, do whatever.
Right.
Okay, and he kills them. But simultaneously, he gets other people to look at that and say, oh, those religious nuts, and mm-hmm. then they just turn away from Christ. And he doesn't care which one it is. He doesn't care if you're 1% off or 1,000% off. As long as you don't accept the Savior by the time you die, he's cool with that. Mm-hmm. So he's great with all the false religions. He loves them.
Oh, yeah.
But we're so nice, and we do this. Oh, well, we don't believe Jesus rose from the dead, but we do this. We feed people and blah, 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 blah.
Oh, yeah.
Too bad.
Yeah.
That's not how it works.
Yeah.
If Jesus didn't pay for your sins, you got to pay for them.
No one is without sin. No, not even one. I don't remember the book, chapter, verse, but it's there, isn't it, David?
Yeah, it is. That's a few times he quotes it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Now, this, believe it or not, I had to include this one. It's because of the place it came from. Popular Mechanics. Now, what in the world would Popular Mechanics have to do with anything to do with religion? Okay. It looks like they're kind of steering away from what they ought to be working on, which is cars. But anyway, according to them, there is a new genetic research that shows that humans did not derive from a single location. Instead, they likely arose from multiple areas in Africa. Again, now this according to Popular Mechanics. It says that Africa remains the focal point of the search of the earliest human existence, even if it may not have a single point of origin. Now, there's a quote in here. It says, decades of study of human genome variation have suggested a predominantly tree-like model of recent population divergence from a single ancestral population in Africa. It has been difficult to reconcile this finding with the fossil and archaeological records of human occupation across the vast African continent. Can I call BS on this one, David? Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, this is insanity. Is. I'm not going to read all this crap because it's all just gobbledygook. But go ahead and comment on it.
Well, you got to look at it's all their terminology. They'll present this. Oh, look what we found, and it's like, well, we think this happened when you really read it, and you know, it says even going back a million years, they can't go back a million years, and they're not telling you that.
Right.
The 300 people, but what they have found 100% unequivocally, and everybody admits it, that every human goes back approximately 4,500 years to a single set of parents, which would be Noah and his wife. Mm-hmm. All right. And then even further back to Eve, everybody has the exact same mitochondrial DNA root.
Right.
But they don't tell you that here. What they're saying here is basically, well, after Noah got off the boat and God said, you need to scatter. And they said, no, we're going to build Babel and stay all together. And you're like, no, I told you to scatter and change their language. Uh-huh. Then there you might get three or four different roots because, you know, Shem went over here and Ham went over here. Uh-huh. And then those two roots might have come up together.
Right.
That's different. Okay.
Completely.
But if they really go back to the mitochondrial DNA, it's literally one set of parents, everybody on the planet.
Amen. Yeah. I mean, and David does a study in our midweek show every week. It is a comprehensive Bible study, and David studied this now for well over 40 years, and you know, he can bring life to Genesis, and let me explain that one to you, okay? We've been in Genesis 1, chapter 1, for what now, David? 2.5 months, something like that?
Yeah, going on 3.
And I think we're in verse 6.
5 or 6, yeah.
Yeah, and that's it, okay, because we go deep and we tell you exactly what, you know, what the Bible really says and not what you think it might say or what somebody told you, but instead what it really says from the original writings that you have never seen before, most of you anyway. Okay, now, by the way, again, that is the midweek show. Hope that you'll tune into that. You can always go to www.lastchristian.net. That's www.lastchristian.net, and you can always see our shows there in video form, and I highly recommend that. Now, this next article, David, comes from the Religion News Service, and I really had to dig their name out because what they go by actually is RNS, okay? Anyway, this appears to be like it's a Christian site, but I'm going to tell you that the people that are involved with this site, they're going to be attending church the Sunday after the rapture. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's how good they are. In other words, they're not a good source. Don't count on them, people. Do not count on them. I say that as a member of the U.S. Press Association, and this article proves it. Let's listen to this one. During Holy Week, Christians remember the final hours before Jesus' arrest, when he and his disciples went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he asked them to stay awake and alert as he prayed, perhaps so he would not be alone in his darkest hours. But to Christ's dismay, the disciples repeatedly fell asleep. Could you not keep awake 1 hour? He lamented. Now, all that's true. That's 100% true. Okay, now then, let's move down a little bit more into the article. I'm not going to bother you with the whole thing. Let's listen to this part. They're talking about an insurrection. The insurrection was a far-right Christian nationalist affair waged under crosses and Christian flags with the blessing of some conservative pastors. A study released last month by PRRI, whoever they are, further indicates that religious groups most associated with the Republican Party, especially white evangelical Protestants, are the most likely to hold Christian nationalist views, which include viewing political struggles through an apocalyptic lens of revolution and violence. Here again, for the second time, I call BS. What do you think, David?
Yeah, I mean, that's what they do. I mean, you know, they say they cry racist and everything they say is, oh, those white people.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I mean, come on already. That's just ridiculous. And then they have to, I guess, demonize or ridicule any kind of Christians.
Right.
And what they'll do is they'll take it. Now, remember, let's go back to Satan using the Bible. Every single cult there is uses the Bible.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
That doesn't make the Bible wrong. That makes them misuse it and twist it to say things that it doesn't say, which is precisely what Satan did from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they'll twist this and they'll say it. So they're finding these, you know, crazy cults and people who do wacky things in the name of God and say, look, there's what Christians are. It's just speaking into the narrative.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, the Bible even says it'll be so close to the truth that if you weren't saved, it would even deceive you.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
That's how close they'll come.
Well, just to sort of back you up on this one, if you scan down this article a little bit more, you'll see this. Others have weaponized their faith to generate support for the Christian nationalist agenda, MAGA. I just love it how everybody attacks Make America Great Again. What in the heck is Making America Great Again? What's wrong with that? But anyway, MAGA conspiracy theories and Christo-fascist political tactics. Lance Wallnew, a self-proclaimed prophet, in other words, a false prophet, who inspired millions of evangelicals to support Trump in 2016, is partnering with Charlie Kirk and TPUSA Faith to mobilize thousands of churches for Trump. Now, I don't know who this guy is. I've never heard of him before, so I know he didn't have anything to do with evangelicals supporting Trump. Let me tell you why evangelists support Trump. Because he's not a baby killer. Because he's not into causing a lot of wars over there, because he's not interested in taxing people more than they can afford, because he believes in law and order instead of chaos, which they always accuse him of, but actually he's the killer of it. You know, I mean, that's why, not because of some idiot that I've never heard of before in my life.
He might have set up a straw man.
Yeah,
so
maybe he inspired two or three people he knows, but he sure as heck didn't inspire me because I've never heard of the idiot before, and I sure don't support his opinions. Okay, David, now you can comment on it.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's what they got to do. They got to call one person out. Oh, that means everybody who supports him must follow this guy.
Yeah.
It's just nonsense from the outset. And like you said, most people are supporting him because he is anti-abortion and he is pro-faith. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of things that he does that are wrong too.
Yes,
but
he's not perfect.
So it's not like you're making him out to be a god too, because we have to question everybody that runs for politics.
Right.
So it's not a blind faith that people have either. Mm-hmm. Except there's always those few on either side that are just crazy. I mean, I've seen. There's a guy that goes around here in New York City and just, you know, asks people who they support. And, you know, they say Biden. He goes, oh, terrific. What are some of the reasons you do? Not one of them has anything good to say. They just know that they got to support him.
He's not Trump. He's not Trump. And
so,
here's the kicker, because if you say Trump, number one, your interview will never air. Okay. Mm-hmm. But number two, if it does, you're in trouble. You're going to be investigated or something, you know, mm-hmm.
yep.
or beat up, you know, never mind.
I think RFK Jr. is a good thing, actually, because
yeah,
it's going to do what? Remember Big Ears did that with Bush?
Yeah. He was from here.
The same thing's going to happen.
Perot.
And not for nothing. He's a million times better than Biden. So if they hadn't brains, they would have put him up instead of Biden.
Yeah. Even though, you know, I'm, I wasn't really against RFK Jr. for a long time, and then I heard that he was that he adopted AOC's new Green Deal and all that kind of crap, and I said, okay, I'm done with him. All right, now, I do want to insert this one real quick, because this is news that you may not hear anywhere else. The White House, this is actually Cackles, Kamala Harris. She says that the religious-themed designs are going to be banned from the Easter egg contest at the White House. And let me see if I can. This is just coming out today. It basically says here that selected designs represented a unique experience and stories of National Guard children will be brought to life. Here's what she says, that children also can't promote material that promotes bigotry, racism, hatred, or harm against any group or individual, or promotes discrimination based on race, gender, religion, nationality, disability, sexual orientation, or age. Now, that is all involved in an Easter egg hunt. That's all it is. It's an Easter egg hunt, and they're putting restrictions on it because of they don't believe that it's racially even, or whatever you want to call it.
Well, I don't understand why. Do you think that different people can't do it as good as other people? That's just ridiculous. That would be insulting to me. If you think that I somehow need you to bolster me with my own special month or whatever, then stop it. I don't need you to do that for me, you know? Yeah. And that's where people should really get outraged about that. Listen, I don't need you to do that. Mm. You know, I am whole in Christ, and no matter what color, race, creed, whatever, I'm whole in Christ. Got nothing to do with you and you're supporting me. You're the racist.
Well, let's follow that one up with another racist one, okay? I mean, they're throwing everything they possibly can at this situation. Again, the Biden administration has announced through the Office of Management and Budget that it's rolling out new artificial intelligence regulations for federal agencies. And in a press call on Wednesday, Vice President Kamala Harris said the new series of regulations, which include mandatory risk reporting and transparency rules, informing people when agencies are using AI, would, quote, promote the safe, secure, and responsible use of AI. When government agencies use AI tools, we will now require them to verify that those tools do not endanger the rights and safety of the American people. I'll give you an example. The Veterans Administration wants to use AI in VA hospitals to help doctors diagnose patients. They would first have to demonstrate that AI does not produce racially biased diagnosis. Cackles, you are a fool. I mean, you're a complete, you've gone so far to the side that nobody thinks of, Mr. Magoo, Bugs Bunny, whatever, are more intelligent than the Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris. That's my personal opinion. Live with it. David, you want to comment on that?
Yeah, Cackles has lost her mind. And we all know how she got there, so let's not talk about that.
Yeah, but, absolutely.
Yeah, if AI is so brilliant, why can't it figure out which pictures have stairs in them? Because every time I go to a site, it's like, prove you're not a robot, and I got to press all these boxes. It's just ridiculous. I wouldn't trust it to make a diagnosis either.
No.
You know, I can't even trust it to make a decent picture. Remember when I tried to make a train falling off the tracks and just wouldn't do it?
Okay. All right. Well, now,
it was a cool picture, but the train wasn't falling off the tracks.
Here in the first half of this show, we've talked about stuff that is not really related to what I really want to talk about today, which is the real reason that Christians and Jews are under attack. And there's just really one reason for it when you really break it all the way down, and I'll give you that answer. But in the second half of the show, we're going to talk about things like climate change. People love talking about climate change. We're going to talk about the Milky Way's central black hole. And then we're going to end it with 10 reasons why ex-Christians are no longer religious. I'm going to give you the top 10. Okay, and that's when Christians are going to start laughing, and other people may actually have their eyes opened through our discussion. We're going to find out. David, before we close out the first half, though, I do want you to talk about the conference that we're going to, and that's next week. So, people, if you want to save $10, if you want to save $10, you better get after it right now. David, go ahead and tell them about it.
Oh, it's going to be a blast. I have my presentation is all just about ready to go. We got it all polished up, and it's going to be phenomenal. And we're going to talk about a lot of these things. But it's called Prophetic Signs in the Heavenlies. So hearthewatchmen.com, hearthewatchmen.com. You can go there. You could still get a ticket to get there if you want, if you're close to Dallas or want to fly in this week. It's coming up April 5th. Or if you want to get the live stream, which would include actually the recordings you're going to get. And they'll, so since it's a recording, you'll be able to hang on to them forever and watch them over and over. So in case you missed anything I said, you can go back and watch it again amongst everyone else that's going to be there. It's quite a nice crowd that's going to be there. You'll see many different parts of the body that will bring together one thought and one theme as, hey, Jesus is coming back soon. We're getting close.
Amen. And we will be there. One of the stations that covers us, Revelation Radio, has invited us to be there. We'll be interviewing a lot of people as they go on stage, come off stage, just people stopping in with their ministries, no matter what size. I'm happy to interview them as well, as will David. So stop by, say hello. I mean, even if you don't want to be interviewed, you can come in and say hello. We'd love to meet some of you guys that have been listening to us. So stop on in. By the way, I also, David, just for fun, went there to the Hear the Watchmen site and looked at it, and they have the hotel where you can book the reservation. There are still a few rooms available, and they're like 150, I think, something in that range right now. And why am I saying that? Because try to book a hotel in Dallas, Texas right now with the eclipse coming up on the 8th. There are some hotel rooms that are charging well over $1,000 for one night in their hotel during that thing.
All because it's a conference, it's better.
And all because of the clip of the eclipse. All right, we will be back with the second half. It's gonna get interesting. We'll be back right after the break with the second half of Last Christian.
From Feature Story News in New York, I'm Sally Patterson with a look back at some of the week's top stories. The U.S. government approved an initial $60 million in emergency funds for the state of Maryland to clear debris and start rebuilding the Francis Scott Key Bridge. The bridge was destroyed by a large container ship on Tuesday, bringing shipping traffic in and out of the port of Baltimore to a standstill. The project could cost as much as $2 billion to complete. Here's Ira Spitzer.
The Department of Transportation called the $60 million a down payment toward initial costs and said that additional emergency relief program funding will be made available. President Biden has promised that the federal government will cover the entire cost of rebuilding the Baltimore Bridge, but that idea has already faced some opposition from fiscal conservatives in Congress. The Transportation Department has said it will need congressional approval to come up with the additional funds for a replacement bridge.
The one-time king of crypto was sentenced to 25 years in prison on Thursday, having been found guilty on 7 counts of fraud and conspiracy. Sam Bankman-Fried's cryptocurrency exchange, FTX, was worth $32 billion before it went bankrupt in 2022. William Denslow was outside the courthouse in Lower Manhattan.
The 32-year-old was convicted back in November of using more than $8 billion of FTX customer cash to help support his other ventures, buy properties and make political donations. SBF pleaded not guilty to all charges. His legal team says he's no financial serial killer and there'll be an appeal.
The United Nations Security Council adopted a ceasefire resolution on Monday, calling for an end to fighting during the month of Ramadan. The resolution was drafted by the elective members of the council. Jody Jacobs reports from the United Nations in New York.
14 members voted in favor of the resolution, and the U.S. abstained. As part of the resolution, it also calls for the immediate release of all hostages and to ensure humanitarian access to address all the needs in Gaza.
And Thailand moved closer to legalizing same-sex marriage this week after the lower house passed a bill giving legal recognition to such unions. If it's approved by the Senate and endorsed by the King, Thailand would become the only Southeast Asian country to recognize same-sex unions. Laura Westbrook has more.
The bill was more than a decade in the making, and lawmakers in Thailand's parliament approved it with a majority of more than 96%. It still needs approval from the Senate and the royal endorsement to become law, but that is widely expected to happen by the end of the year. The new law will describe marriage as a partnership between two individuals instead of between a man and a woman. That will give LGBT couples equal rights to get marital tax savings, to inherit property, and adopt children.
From Bureaus Worldwide, this is FSN.
And welcome back to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams, and joining me from New York City, Mr. David Paxton. And David, really quick, I want to put the title screen back up here one more time, or actually the conference screen, I should say, because this conference is called The Prophetic Signs in the Heavenlies, and the reason that I am reminding people about this conference is because of the next couple of reports I'm going to read. All right, now, the first one here is by a guy, his name is Duncan Agnew, and he is the geophysicist at the University of California at San Diego, okay? So, David, what he's saying is climate change is messing with time itself. Now, let me begin this in this way. Do we believe in climate change? Yes, or at least I do. Yes, I believe in climate change. I believe that the climate has changed throughout history, not in the last 30 years, not in the last 50 years, but in the last, 5,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's been changing.
Yeah, it's been changing. And nobody wants to recognize what happened before. They only want to talk about recent history. And that's the reason they're idiots. Okay, but anyway, listen to this real quick. He said that the melting of polar ice due to global warming is affecting Earth's rotation and could have an impact on precision timekeeping. Now, he just published this week in the journal Nature, whatever that is, okay? He said the planet is not about to jerk to a halt nor speed up so rapidly that everyone gets flung into space, but timekeeping is an exact science in a highly technological society, which is why global authorities more than half a century ago felt compelled by the slight changes in Earth's rotation to invent the concept of the leap second. Invent. Remember, he said that himself. Invent, okay? He said that
it doesn't exist.
global warming is managing to actually measurably affect the rotation of the entire Earth. Again, this is according to Duncan Agnew. And then he finishes all these things off with things are happening that have never happened before. Here's another BS report. This has happened over millennia, okay, that we've had climate change. But what do you think about all this, David?
We've been studying that. I've been studying specifically the cesium clocks, because there's one in London, and then there's one on top of the mountain in Boulder, Colorado. They're exact same clock. They use the cesium 128, I think, but it's down to 100 thousandths of a second in accuracy, like basically 1 second in like a million years. That's how accurate they are. And since they put one high up on a mountain and another one basically at sea level, they're different. Mm-hmm. They're like 5 microseconds off every year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they have to use those two clocks to adjust all the GPS, yes, global positioning system that we have, because all the satellites need to know where you are and then adjust for that teeny, teeny bit of difference in time. So this has been going on since the beginning of time, really.
Right.
And Einstein even laid it out and he proved that, you know, time and space – and the speed of light all equal. They're they're all the same thing in different forms, which goes right back to what the Bible said. He used light to create the time-space continuum that we live in. And time is just a fourth dimension of matter, really, because it's here and then it's over here, but it's at different times. So I can have this here and this here in the exact same spot, but just different time frames. The only difference about time is you can only go forward in time. You can't go backwards. When we get into the next dimensions, you know, when we're resurrected, I believe we'll be able to go back in time as well. So that would be cool to go back and look what's going on. We'll be able to see all the history.
That would be interesting.
That'll prove all the naysayers wrong. That'll be fun. We'll give them a ticket back in time. Listen, before you go into the lake of fire, we just want to show you all of history. There you go.
There you
now
go.
Now you saw everything. Get into the lake.
Well, I just love the part where he said it's never happened before. I mean, that's ridiculous. You know.
It's happened. Matter of fact, the Hezekiah did that. Turn to the book of Hezekiah for me.
Okay.
There is no book of Hezekiah.
I thought you. I'm sorry. I thought you were going to Second Kings. Honestly, I wasn't even listening to you. I was already at Second Kings. Go ahead. I'm sorry. You just made an idiot out of me on national or international radio, but that's okay. I'm used to you popping here or down there.
I do that all the time. It sounds like it should be a book, right?
Yeah, but it's not. It's not.
Everyone turns to Hezekiah as well.
Yeah. But, but in my defense, whenever you do get to Second Kings, you're going to find Hezekiah. I promise you.
Yeah, right there. chapter 20, right?
Right.
So he said he talked about time going backwards. Now, I don't know how he did it because it says that basically the sundial went backwards. And that's pretty cool. So it was either something happened with the rotation of the earth with another body going by and kind of twisted that, you know, a little bit of an adjustment. And, you know, Mars gets real close. It could actually do something like that. Or it's possible that he actually, you know, did turn time back. We'd have to look at history to see if there's any corroborating stories.
Right.
Like when Jesus was on the cross and it was a 3-hour eclipse, that earthquake and everything that happened was felt all around the world.
Amen.
Okay. And every civilization has something. Hey, we had this really, really weird long eclipse. Matter of fact, remember how Joshua had the long day where he just kept the sun up until they won the battle. So China has the exact same story, but it was the long night. It says we had this one night lasted 2 days or something like that. So the stories are corroborating and we should be able to find them. But I think most importantly, if you turn to Proverbs chapter 3,
okay,
and it says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." Well, that's not just living a long life. It actually has two different terms, length of days and long life.
Right.
And I don't know how many people have heard the postulation of, you know, sending an astronaut out to, you know, the nearest star and then having that go the speed of light. So if he travels the speed of light, it'll basically take 4 years to get there. He comes back, but Earth would have been, you know, his twin brother would be like many years older. I forget the exact numbers, but it would be demonstrable, because as you approach the speed of light, as you go faster, time slows down. Okay, so when you're traveling at the speed of light, and that's what this says, if it in Proverbs, if you're approaching God, you're approaching light. As you go faster and approach light speed, then your time slows down. That's why he says we'll have longer days. So now if you have light speeding up, if light is slowing down now, then you'll have longer days. So if you're going faster, time slows down, basically. So if you're going slower, then time speeds up. It's a reverse. So that sets the equation in motion. But then we want to look at Matthew 24. 2022, and except those days be shortened, there should be no flesh saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Okay. So he's shortening the days.
Now, let me jump in real quick, because we need to clarify the elect here, because that's something that is under major debate. Are we talking about the church? Or are we talking about the Jews?
Okay, that is real clear. It's in Matthew 24, specifically about the Jews, okay? And there's the righteous and the elect. Enoch talks about the two groups, the righteous and the elect. When you see Pisces, there's two groups, okay? When you see Jesus said, I have sheep of another fold. He is a shepherd, and he's got two flocks, basically. And that's a lot of anti-Semitism comes from not understanding that, you know, Jesus has two, there's two missions. There's two destinies. There's two people. We're all saved by the blood of Jesus. It's the same, you know, same owner of the field, but there's two different flocks, basically. And even John the Baptist, he says, oh, the, you know, the bridegroom comes, and I'm a friend of the bridegroom, but the bridegroom has a bride. And the law and the prophets were till John, and John was the greatest man ever, except the least in the kingdom is greater than he is. And he was just happy to be a friend of the groom, a friend of the bridegroom. So he's not one of the bride, but a friend of the bridegroom. So there's, you could see language all over the place that there's two different groups of people. Both of them will be saved. Matter of fact, if you turn to Zechariah, Zechariah talks about a one third or two thirds being cut off, but one third will bring through the fire. Okay, and they will call him Lord, and they will be my people. So Jesus specifically says Israel will return and repent, and then will come to know their Savior.
And that is in just for people that are trying to follow along with us. That's in Zechariah 13, and that's verses 7 through 9. Okay. All right. Just in case you want to look that up, you know, because we always want to make that clear. I'm going to move on to the next one, David. This is a twisted magnetic field observed around the Milky Way's central black hole. This is kind of right up. This is you know, if you're looking for a reason to go to the conference that we're going to be at, this kind of goes into that. This is from Reuters. Astronomers on Wednesday of this past week announced that they have detected a strong and organized magnetic field twisted in a spiral pattern around the Milky Way's supermassive black hole, revealing previously unknown qualities of the immensely powerful object lurking at the center of our galaxy. The structure of the magnetic field emanating from the edge of the black hole is called the Sagittarius A asterisk, or SGR capital A asterisk, closely resembles one surrounding the only other black hole ever imagined, a larger one residing at the center of a nearby galaxy called Messier 87 or M87, according to these researchers. I'm not going to read this whole thing. Again, it's another BS thing. But anyway, what do you think about that? I'm sure you're reading through the article because I sent it to you before.
Yeah, I mean, he does this at the end of the age on purpose. Now, my presentation is specifically going to be from way back when the gospel was actually written in the stars, and that's a contract that he has with us. So it shows that these things will absolutely 100% come to pass because he wrote it in the stars way back before the flood. You know, there's Josephus talks about actually Seth, Adam and Seth wrote it up, and Seth said, I want to write something pneumatics in the stars so my offspring would know the story of creation, because it was told directly to Adam, and then he told it to Seth. So they made up all the stars in there. And then it was written down by Enoch. Enoch means to kind of write things down. And he talks about the signs in the heavens. But then he says, at the end of the age, there's going to be even more stuff that wasn't revealed. Okay, and that's in Acts 2:19. This is fun. So let's back up. Okay. And
You say Acts 2:19?
Yep.
Okay.
And it should come to pass in verse 17. It'll come to pass in the last days, said God, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions. That comes from Joel. And the old men shall dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days my spirit, and they shall prophesy. So that's going to be fun.
Yeah.
And I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. Isn't this what we're seeing?
as you were saying that, I was saying, "Whoa, that's scary stuff right there." You know, for us sitting on the earth right now, you know, that's
well. Scary there you stuff. Go. There's one of the wonders in heaven. Okay.
All right. Now, to find out more, you got to attend the conference or get a copy of it. Okay. We're going to come down to this now. The real reason Christians and Jews are under attack. I'm going to answer that at the very end. But here's the lead into it. These are 10 reasons why ex-Christians are no longer religious. Start with number 10. Remember the old, I think it was Letterman had the countdown list or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. All right. Number 10, focusing on yourself. Modern society often emphasizes personal fulfillment, individual choice, and self-expression. Some ex-Christians admitted that these modern values caused a clash with some of the stricter religious traditions that emphasize obedience to religious teachings and communal values. In other words, they don't agree with the Bible, so we can't do it. Number 9, less importance on religion. In many parts of the world, religion is no longer as dominant a force in society as it once was. Many mentioned that they have more freedom to choose their own beliefs without facing social stigma or pressure to conform. This made it easier for them to leave Christianity as they no longer align with their value. Same thing, they're choosing themselves over others. Spiritual paths outside the church. Ex-Christians found peace and fulfillment in practices such as meditation, yoga, spending time in nature, or exploring alternative spiritual traditions that offer a different approach to connecting with someone greater than oneself. They admit that these practices feel more personal and less restrictive than those of the organized religion. Isn't this, are you catching the theme here? It's all about me, okay? Number 7, mixing religion and politics. According to some ex-Christians, when churches become involved in partisan politics or use their platform to advocate for specific political candidates, it alienates members who have a different political view. This creates divisions within the church and makes people feel like they can't express their political beliefs freely within the religious community. Sure they can. They can speak up as much as they want to, but if we're going to help them, we're going to point out parts of the Bible that say you're wrong. I mean, it's really simple. Again, it's me. Okay. Number 5, purpose beyond religion. There are many ways to find meaning and purpose in life outside of religion. For some, this could involve helping others through volunteer work, pursuing creative passions, spending quality time with loved ones, or simply making a positive contribution to the world around you. Several ex-Christians confess that leaving Christianity doesn't mean losing their sense of purpose. It just means finding it in a different place. In other words, they're going to buy their way to heaven. Now, this one you need to comment on, David. Buying your way to heaven don't work. Go ahead.
Was it, who sings that? And she's buying stairway. Well, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, shall we?
Okay.
And it says, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Interesting word there. Kalepos. It sounds like a Mexican food, doesn't it? The idea. So dangerous and furious times.
Guess what, David? Before you go on, guess what? Take a look on screen. What? Go ahead.
Oh, isn't that lovely? For men shall be lovers of their own selves. And here's a whole list of everything we were just talking about. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. You know what he's talking about there. Truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. That's pretty much that whole list.
Yeah, absolutely.
A form of godliness. Oh, I have a sense of purpose. I'm helping people. It's a form of godliness.
Yeah, yeah. But you can't buy your way into heaven. You know, people think they've got to do something. You know, they got to do something to get in heaven. Well, you got to do one thing. You got to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. The end. That's it. Okay? That's it. All right. Here's number four, David. Not feeling close to God. Well, if you went by the other, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven ahead of it. All right. Anyway, a few people said that going through the motions of attending church or praying does not bring them a sense of peace or connection to God. They do not experience a sense of personal growth, inner peace, or connection to something larger than themselves through traditional religious. Let's see, I got to turn the page here. Activities, the lack of fulfillment has led them to search for alternative spiritual paths or simply move away from religion altogether. So that's kind of the me thing again. But in order for the Bible to come to life to you, in order for the Word of God to speak to you, number one, you got to be a Christian. You have to have some kind of belief for it to really open up to you. What you've got to do is take any doubt you have, take that to the Lord. And pray about it, and let the Lord answer your questions, and then give your life to Jesus Christ. And you're gonna then what they just wrote here, you're gonna laugh at. It's idiotic. You can't drive a car until you learn how, and you can't really understand the Bible till you actually start to read it and let it speak to you. Am I making any sense with that, David?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if we we're in James chapter 4, beginning there, we can pull it. It says, "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members?" So this is where all this comes from. So check this out: you lust and you do not have; you murder and covet and cannot obtain. So it's talking about this. Oh, I didn't feel this sense when I'm praying. Check this out. You fight a war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. So are you asking for God's presence? Are you asking him for his will and purposes? Are you saying, oh, me? Oh, just why don't you just, you know, give me that car like I asked? You're not asking me. You're not giving me the car that I asked for. That's not what it's about. It's about what are his will and purposes.
Yeah.
So he says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Okay. That's amazing. And then he says, you ask and you do not receive. He says, you ask and you don't receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. There's your problem.
Yeah. And I like verse 6. Where it says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud. In other words, everybody that's not going to fulfill or, you know, try to comply. But instead, he gives grace to the humble. I mean, that's pretty straightforward, in my opinion.
All right. What do they need to do next?
Number three, changing ideas about what's right. Societal views on various issues evolve over time. For some people, Christian teachings around topics like LGBTQ+ rights, gender equality, or premarital sex are outdated or even discriminatory in modern times. This changing viewpoint especially creates a conflict for people who value both their faith and social justice. And this is the big one in the United States of America right now. Okay, we're going to, you know, the Bible says it's wrong, but society says it's right. And so we're going to go with society and we're going to forget about God. That's really what that one's all about. Right, David?
Yep. Yep. And, Jesus talks about that. He said, you hold to your traditions of men and you forget about the things of God.
Right. Okay. Number two, science versus religion. Scientific discoveries about the universe and the origins of life have made some people question the literal interpretations or creation stories in the Bible. For example, a few people admitted that the theory of evolution seems to contradict the idea of God creating everything in 6 days. This contradiction led them to wonder if there's a way to reconcile science and faith, or if they need to choose one over the other. And I'll choose God 100% of the time. But you've addressed this on your midweek show in Genesis a couple of times. But for those that haven't heard it, go ahead.
Well, it's in scads, I might say. This is the crux of everything. And this, again, it's a false argument. Mm-hmm. Okay, you say science versus religion. That's not the case.
Right.
The Bible is the science book. Okay, and it's 100% correct. It right. has pi in it. It has e in it. It has a Fibonacci sequence. Okay, if anyone is a math nerd out there, mm-hmm. it has the it talks about the light and quantum physics in every different aspect. Okay, it's mathematically demonstrable that it fits a specific pattern that you can't replicate. Mm-hmm. Mankind can't even write a paragraph with the patterns that are in written in the Bible. It is demonstrably mm-hmm. the science book that you need to go to. What you call science is a pseudoscience today, and that's where they guess. Yeah. But the very definition of science is something that is observable and repeatable, and you're studying why. Mm-hmm. Evolution is neither observed nor repeatable. Mm-hmm. Okay? No one has ever observed it. No one has ever repeated it. Right. So therefore, it is not a science. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Okay. Just I'm going to move on real quick, David, because I want to wrap this thing up before we run out of time. Number one, disagreeing with church teachings. Me.
I do too.
Some people mention that they disagree with specific teachings or ideas in Christianity. In fact, some struggle with the concept of eternal punishment in hell for those who don't believe in Christianity. It can feel harsh and unfair, especially when applied to good people who haven't necessarily done anything wrong. Additionally, some found the idea of exclusive salvation, meaning only Christians go to heaven, difficult to accept, particularly those who have loved ones of different faiths. In other words, again, it's all about me. It's all about my family. It's all about trying to get yourself into heaven by some other means than just simply placing your faith in Jesus Christ. And I think we've covered all that in this mm-hmm. show. So here's the answer to the real question, okay? And this one's going to take us some time to go through. That's the reason I saved it for last. Okay, this is the real reason that Christians and Jews are under attack. And it's so simple that people are going to say, really? But here it is. The reason that only Christians and Jews are under attack is because they are the only ones that pray to the real God. They're the only ones that actually have God in the right terms. I'm not talking about Allah. I'm not talking about Hinduism. I'm not talking about Buddhism. I'm not talking about Scientology. There's only one way to heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. As David pointed out earlier in the show, 2/3 of Israel is going to be lost. 1/3 will be saved by God. In order for Christians to go to hell, go to heaven, they must accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. All they've got to do is say a simple prayer. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness. I know Jesus Christ died on the cross for me. I know he spent 3 days in a tomb. I know he rose after that third day just like he said he would. I know he has risen. I know he is with God, and he's waiting to come get his church, every Christian living and dead, who he will gather in the clouds, go to heaven. The world goes through 7 years, the worst time that it's ever been through, and worse than anything will ever happen again. And then Jesus comes back and he takes care of business. And I promise you that I will follow Jesus Christ for all the remaining time of my life. And I pray that prayer of salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. In my own words, amen. And if you'll do that, you will be saved. David, I encourage people to come out to the conference coming up April 5th. I hope everybody will show up for that. But we also hope that you'll join us next week. We got some incredible guests coming up next week that you guys are really going to enjoy. So we encourage you to tune in for it. Get ready. Buckle up. Things are going fast. Till next time. Good night.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
My name is Ariel. I moved to the U.S. at 19. I spoke no English and I struggled finding job opportunities. Everything I have, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and getting my high school diploma at age 22.
It was an honor helping you achieve your greatness. Now you're helping others achieve theirs. It inspires me. When you graduate, they graduate. Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.